I can't do it. Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. I have a lot of stuff. I have some exclusive audio for you in just a few minutes as well. But we've got another atmospheric river coming into our state. Going to dump lots of rain today and tomorrow. Lots of snow up in the passes. We've had unprecedented cutoff of west versus east because all the mountain passes were closed at the same time for a short period. Let's get right to our big lead.
The big lead, top story.
So yeah, it was rather unprecedented. There was flooding on I-5, so you couldn't get from Seattle to Portland a couple of days ago. And then all of the major west-east mountain passes were closed because of the unprecedented snow. And one of the questions that a lot of people have been asking me is part of the problem the fact that Jay Inslee fired a bunch of snowplow drivers who didn't get vaccinated? Let's welcome to the broadcast, we'll do it live, our transportation specialist, Chris Sullivan, joins us. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, Dory, this is great. I'm excited. We're live and with no net. I love it.
I know. So mind your P's and Q's, mister.
Yes, will do.
Okay. So this was rather unprecedented. I know that you were monitoring the head of the State Department of Transportation, Roger Millar, and among other things, when asked about all the COVID mandate firings, he said this.
We're understaffed a little bit, but not that much, and it would not make a substantial difference.
Okay, wouldn't have made much of a difference if they hadn't fired all these people. So do you believe, or your reporting have you unveiled whether that's been a big factor in all the passes being shut down?
Over the recent weekend, Dory, it all indications seem to point that this was such a heavy snow event, one that we hadn't seen since like 2009, that it wouldn't have mattered how many people they had or didn't have a part of the 1,550 or so that they consider full staffing for the winter to get up there and do what they had to do. Because, I mean, they were talking 30, 35-foot snow slides, snow drifts, debris down, things like that, that were really not only made it dangerous to clear that and get people up there to actually do the work, but to get the passes open and whatnot. It wasn't a safe situation. So as near as I can tell, this last weekend was somewhat of an anomaly. Kind of even the one a couple of weeks ago was almost an anomaly too, because it lasted so long with the sub freezing. So it's been kind of unusual. Now, would it have helped and maybe opened the passes a little bit earlier had they had all of those extra folks? I can't judge because I don't know. But what I can tell you is that Roger Millar, and to set the numbers straight, and so everybody knows the numbers that we're going at. I know you could do the math for me because you're good at that. Mm-hmm. Going into the pandemic or going into the October of this year, they were down about 150 people because there was a hiring freeze during the pandemic, and they were trying to find people to join the maintenance department. The vaccine mandate hit, 151 people lost their jobs. Since then, they have rehired about 9 people who then chose to get the vaccine after that date, and they have rehired, and they have hired a total of 200 people total. So they are actually ahead of people than they were when they let those people go on October 18th because of the mandate. Now, I can't say that those are all really, really, what would you say, that have the experience and the intellectual experience of years of working on passes, like some of those people they may have let go. But right. they actually have more bodies now than they did after that October 18th vaccine mandate, letting go of employees.
But that's for all of WashDOT, and they're not all snowplow drivers.
No, it's just Department of Maintenance. That's just for the Department of Maintenance only, of which the 1,500 or 50 that they have yearly that they have, that number is only for the Department of Maintenance
for the highway.
Correct. So for people who do, you know, from guard repair to striping to you name it, that number of 151 was just for the maintenance department. The DOT entirely, it was much higher.
Okay, so let me ask you. I have a quote in front of me from a former WSDOT employee named Alex Kimbrough. And here's what he said. He said, they are operating only three-man crews instead of the typical six for their region. They're being made to work their shifts 7 days a week. Having said that, it's only going to get worse. Like, it's not already bad enough. The burnout already felt is now leading some to question whether they can continue like this for the foreseeable future. And to top it off, there are no patrol resources to get to accidents, and the already small crew is forced to also be the first responders. Now, that's Alex Kimbrough, former WSDOT employee. Now, maybe this person has an axe to grind, but he says they're running three-man crews instead of typical six, that they're doing 7 days a week, that they're burned out. What do you know about any of that?
I've heard very similar things as well. And I mean, I even heard from the head of the maintenance department a week or so ago over coming out of the holidays that there are times when he has trucks, but he doesn't have drivers. So they're not at full staff. They're still down 140 people total, but that is somewhat true. And yeah, there are people that chose to come in and worked beyond those 7 days over the and worked the holidays intentionally to try to get the roads open. But I've heard similar things from other drivers as well, that they're getting pretty burned because this has been an unusual series of events, not only the storm right after Christmas, but then what happened over the last 5 or 6 days, been kind of a double whammy over and over. And you're right, it's not going to be getting much better, and they're hiring people as fast as they can, but they also have to train a lot of them,
yeah.
Which means
because
you put somebody in a truck, they're not ready to plow because maybe they haven't done that before, but they have a CDL, so they got to do some work. So there's some downtime in that as well. So, yeah, when you hear Roger Millar, the head of WSDOT, basically say it's the vaccine mandate has had no impact, you have to take that with a grain of salt because, I mean, even his own maintenance department said, yeah, it's having an impact.
Sure.
But,
yeah.
So you just have, I mean, it's just, you just can't be down that many people, even though they've hired 200, and have it not have an impact, especially on burnout.
I assume the snowplow operators, they work by them. They're by themselves in the cab of the snowplow, right?
That is certainly, and that was one of the questions that House Republicans asked Roger Millar yesterday. The sound that we got from him was from a House committee. This was his state of transportation. They were like, listen, these people are in their trucks by themselves. Can we rethink the protocols? Can we do other things? And Roger Millar was like, listen, they do a lot more than sit in a truck by themselves. When they go back to the office to get a cup of coffee, they're in the break room. They're in the shed. They're around people. Sometimes if they're first responders, then they're there with injured potentially or people that are in crashes. So he goes, to think that they're just in their trucks in a bubble the whole time just isn't the case. That's what he says. But yes, certainly that came up and he was questioned by House Republicans more than once on that yesterday. And he never really gave a good satisfactory answer, at least to my untrained ear.
Yeah. So they're going to continue with the vaccine mandate, of course, even though, so the guys they've hired back, they decided after losing their job that they would get the vaccine so they could get their job back, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
And right. And to hear Roger Millar, I think you might have access to the soundbite somewhere, but when he disputes the fact that anyone was fired. He says they weren't fired, and again, this is the quote from him, the requirements for the job changed and they chose not to fulfill those requirements. I know it's a nuance and semantics and tap dancing around wordage, verbiage, but to his perspective, no one was fired.
Well, yeah, but that's tough for me to buy because a lot of those people applied for a religious exemption. Yeah, and in many cases, those were granted, but they said, but we can't accommodate you being by yourself. And so bye-bye, your job's gone. So I don't know how you can say they're not firing people who have requested an exemption or an accommodation, and that's not granted. So they're let go. I mean, that's a firing.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
And again, he and I believe it was House Andrew Barkas, House Republican, who questioned him on the nuances of that, or it may have been another House Republican, but they kind of sparred a little bit, and he admitted there's a nuance to being fired or being let go because you didn't meet a requirement that of a changing job description.
Right. Okay. Got it. All right, Chris.
So take that nuance and do and work with it how you will.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. All right. I appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.
Yeah. Anytime.
Our transportation specialist, Chris Sullivan, joining us. It's just hard for me to believe that they have fewer people driving snowplows, that that is not a contributing factor, maybe not the only factor. I mean, I heard up in Leavenworth that they don't even have any place to push snow anymore. The snowplow people come through, the snowfall is so heavy that they can't just push it off to the side. They have to actually truck that out of there. But again, if you have more people working for the DOT, you have more ability to do all of those things. So the passes remain a challenge. It snows in the mountains in the winter time. All right, up next in the big lead.
The big lead. Your tax dollars at work.
Hey, before I get to the Jay Inslee tax dollar story, so, Nicole, what'd you think about that Inslee soundbite that I found just in my aimless, mindless TV watching last night? Wasn't that spectacular?
Yeah. Nice work.
Have you ever seen the show, The Chase?
No, I have not.
Because I like the trivia shows that are that ask tough questions. Some of them are just, you know, for dumb people. And then there are some shows that ask really tough, challenging questions. And Jeopardy was one of them, but I don't watch Jeopardy. I can't watch Jeopardy after Alex. I don't like it anymore. Doesn't make any sense to me to watch it. But there's a show on, I think it's ABC, called The Chase. And it's where three contestants go up against one of the best trivia experts in the world. And one of them is Ken Jennings from Jeopardy fame. One is the James Holzhauer, who we had on our show when he was on his record Jeopardy run. And then that guy whose last name is it Rutter? Something Rutter? Who was also a Jeopardy champion. And then a guy they call the Beast.
Hmm.
I know. I don't know these guys that well. But anyway, so but it's a tough game, and they ask tough, challenging questions. So on The Chase, there was one on my DVR.
Wait, so this question was presented to the...
What? Say again? You got cut off.
Oh, sorry. I said in this this question that you are going to play here in a minute, this was presented to all those people?
No. This was presented to the civilian contestant. They do a thing called the cash builder, where with every time they get a question right, they get $10,000 added to the bank. And then whatever they accumulate, that's the amount they play for against James Holzhauer or whoever the experts limit.
Okay,
so anyway, so here's the question that was asked on The Chase a couple of nights ago.
Praised for his coronavirus leadership, Jay Inslee is the governor of what U.S. state? Pass. Washington.
I felt bad for Jay Inslee. Praised for his coronavirus leadership. Jay Inslee's the governor of what state? No man, wonder he could only get 0% in the Democratic primary when nobody, even trivia experts, have no clue who Jay Inslee is. That made
Maybe
me
nobody
sad
caught
for
the praise he's supposedly
praised,
receiving.
Praised for his COVID leadership.
Praised for his coronavirus leadership. Jay Inslee is the governor of what U.S. state? Washington.
Pass. I wish I had the option of passing on
but
that.
For a presidential nominee, that's pretty sad.
I know. And she was really good at other trivia. She knew all kinds of other stuff, but Jay Inslee, she had no clue about. Okay, speaking of Jay Inslee, let's get to your tax dollars now. So in the brand new state budget that Jay Inslee is unveiling, did you know? Because you work hard. You send off your tax money to the state of Washington, whether it's via the sales tax or they get a chunk of your property taxes. They have the B&O tax. They have all kinds of ways that they can take our money. And Jay Inslee has all kinds of ways that he can spend our money. So in the brand new state budget that Jay Inslee has unveiled, did you know that he's going to spend millions and millions and millions of your and my hard-earned, hard-worked-for money that we send off for our tax dollars to the state to mandate all state employees attend... Wait, where are my woke word dice here, Jay? All state employees must attend diversity, equity, and guess what's going to pop up now? Inclusion! Yay! Training. So Jay Inslee is going to spend $1.4 million of your and my hard-earned money to make all State Patrol employees undergo diversity, equity, and inclusion training. All WSDOT employees. We don't have enough to clear the roads. We don't have enough snowplow drivers. We fired a bunch because they didn't get the vaccine mandate. But all State Department of Transportation employees, $1.4 million, so they can all undergo diversity, equity, and inclusion training. Now, this is just a kind of random thought on my part, but maybe, just maybe, we should have State Patrol keeping our freeways safe before we make them undergo a bunch of woke training. Maybe the Department of Transportation should have the resources and the manpower to clear the mountain passes before we spend millions of dollars on them getting diversity, inclusion, and equity training. But that's how you and I get to have our money spent. To have state employees have mandated diversity, equity, and inclusion training. That has now taken a priority over clearing the mountain passes in the bizarre insular world of Jay Inslee. And then, speaking of Jay Inslee, I told you on Friday, he's introduced this bizarre bill. He wants to make it a crime for people to challenge election results.
On the first anniversary of the Capitol riot, Governor Jay Inslee says he's looking for sponsors for a bill to make it a gross misdemeanor for an elected official or candidate to lie about election results.
Ooh, it's going to be a crime to lie about election results, right, Jay?
So I believe it will be constitutional because we understand that this speech is the type of speech that can promote violence.
Okay, and then he said, look, Jay Inslee, he had to drop out of Stanford because he couldn't cut it. He says that he couldn't afford it, but Stanford would have gotten him all the funding he needed after he was admitted. But he dropped out because he couldn't hack it academically. And this kind of proof that he really doesn't know law, even though he was a practicing lawyer.
It's yelling fire in a crowded theater.
Okay, which is one of the most misquoted, and if you're a beginning law student, you know that it is not illegal to yell fire in a crowded movie theater. That is one of the great urban legends. It was said by a Supreme Court justice 100 years ago, Oliver Wendell Holmes. The case was a socialist who was passing out what was considered to be inflammatory pamphlets. And in one of the most misguided Supreme Court statements ever, Oliver Wendell Holmes said, that's like yelling fire in a crowded movie theater, meaning it will incite some violence. A socialist passing out socialist pamphlets. And it was never law. It was never a Supreme Court ruling. But about 60 years ago, the Supreme Court said, look, so many people are misquoting this. It will make it official. It is not illegal to yell fire in a crowded movie theater. Well, any first-year law student knows that, but Jay Inslee is still quoting it, even though it's nonsensical. And I want to say, if he's making it illegal for people to question elections, this is it's racist and it's misogynistic. Because for some reason, even though she's a fellow socialist Democrat, Jay Inslee obviously wants sanctions against Pramila Jayapal.
Mr. President, I object to the certificate from the state of Georgia on the grounds that the electoral votes
There's no debate. Section 15 and 17 of Title III of the United States Code require that any objection be presented in writing, signed by both a member of the House of Representatives and a senator. Is the objection in writing and not only signed by the member, but by a United States senator?
Mr. President, even as people waited hours in Georgia...
There's no debate.
Pramila Jayapal, she kept trying to challenge the 2016 election. So Jay Inslee, why don't you just make it illegal for women of race to question it, because obviously your new proposed law is targeted at women of color, like Pramila Jayapal. Very racist, very misogynistic of you, Jay Inslee, and I expect better of you. You shouldn't be put, and Kamala Harris questioned the 2016 election. I don't think you should be putting minority women, women of color, in legal jeopardy with your nonsensical new laws, Mr. Governor. I am calling on Jay Inslee to finally reject racism and misogyny, since he so clearly embraces it today. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Shocking. I expect better of you, Mr. Governor. All right, we have lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show, including we told you that the COVID nonsense, the evasion, the lack of ability for our CDC director to answer any direct questions, it reminded me of somebody. And I have some audio proof of it coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. There we go. Now we're talking. Nicole, Andrew, can we have a real quick show meeting here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You there, Nicole? I'm calling a meeting.
I'm here.
Mm-hmm. That's the kind of thing I should do off here. So since Sean DeTore's moved to another job within the radio station, Andrew's now doing all 3 hours of our show. He's been asking me a lot about bumpers. And if, with Andrew now being fully in charge of our show sound, if we want to change up the bumpers at all. And I've gone back and forth on this. Do we want some, you know, more from my youth songs that, you know, the Eagle? You know, we can't play the Eagles on the radio. The Eagles are absolute about not playing their songs. But do we want stuff like that? Do we want the stuff we've had, which I said I want kind of a Las Vegas pool party vibe? Do we want to, so Nicole, I haven't asked you, do we want to redo the bumpers now that Andrew's fully in charge here?
Well, I don't know that they have to be completely redone, but I say it's always good to freshen up. So add some more into rotation, make some of the old ones, you know, often played as they are now, that type of thing.
You see, and can you go back to the beginning of this song, but don't fire it right away, Andrew. Just cue it up.
It's ready.
Okay, so before I ever got a talk show, I would drive in my car. I had, you know, a shoebox full of cassette tapes. And I would listen to songs, and I would think about, because I was big into goal setting, and I was already planning on someday getting my own talk show. And as part of that, to make goal setting as effective as possible, you have to be very precise in your visualization. And part of it was I would pick what bumper songs I wanted to have. And so the first song that I said I want, and this might have been the first bumper we ever played almost 27 years ago now on the big show. But I wanted Tower of Power's You're Still a Young Man, because I loved the horn intro. And I will tell you guys, Nicole, my producer at the time, Sean Splain, and my board op at the time, they hated this song, and they hated this bumper, and I insisted upon it. And now, when Andrew asked me during the break if we want to still do something with the bumpers, I said, you know, maybe I want to bring this. So play, bring it back, and I'm going to pretend like I'm going into a new segment of the show here, okay? Welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. All right, let me tell you about the stupid thing that Jay Inslee just said. Isn't this a great bumper? Don't you guys agree that I should get this back in the rotation?
Well,
a lot of energy.
I mean, once in a while, as long as we don't have to have a whole conversation about it every time it happens.
Well, I think we should. I think this is worthy of it.
Well, you want to slip it in with the rest of the Las Vegas vibe?
I don't know. That's the tough mix.
That's the big problem. I've got another Tower of Power song on here. I think I've got Supertramp in there somewhere. And unfortunately, as much as I love that theme, it just doesn't match the rest of it. So I'm just trying to figure out if I need to rehaul a lot of it or if I just need to work with what I have and narrow the focus a little bit.
Oh, do you want to hear the Supertramp bumper that I always visualized using on the show?
Is that Bloody Will Wright? Is that the one?
No, it's not. It's a very obscure song. See if you can cue up the beginning of Fool's Overture.
Oh, I've heard of that one. Hang on.
Okay. Nicole, I know we weren't planning on doing this segment, but I'd like to get the listeners' input on all of this because, as you know, I'm a people pleaser. And so I'd like to... Oh, here we go. And I would drive around. I had the 72 Plymouth Duster. It's working for a print shop. I'd have to go down to South Seattle, pick up big boxes, reams of paper at Kaplan Paper, put them in the trunk of my car. And I'd drive around listening to the music that I was going to use as bumpers when someday I became Seattle's most beloved radio talk show host. And this was one of them. Isn't this a great bumper, you guys?
I like
it. I've heard better.
Andrew likes it. You've heard better.
It's too slow.
There's plenty more Supertramp out there, Nicole.
It's dramatic. It's and eventually it has some Winston Churchill cuts in it. One of my favorite politicians.
I probably wouldn't keep that in there, but this might be a good out bumper if we go with this path.
Maybe if it's a serious topic, because we sometimes like to match the music to the mood of what we're talking about.
Of course.
Okay, so yes or no? Tower of Power and Fool's Overture by Supertramp. Should we include them in the rotation or not?
I mean, maybe if we need a real down-tempo bump going into a very sad story.
You know what's down-tempo and sad? Your attitude towards my favorite bumpers. Down-tempo.
Future, I'd like to encourage Andrew to make these decisions on his own during the breaks and not ask.
You don't like
your
it when I do this sort of thing on the air, do you? Oh, look at that. Go look at the text messages. 360, Dory, more Tower of Power, please. Best band ever. From the 253, more cowbell, Dory. Unicycle Mike says, I like the trumpets. Little too jazzy reminds me of NPR. Ugh. That's like the comment of death comparing this to NPR.
I don't think I'd ever play jazz on this show, Dory. I don't think jazz fits you at all.
Dory doesn't like jazz. Here we go.
So two, jazzy.
From the 253, Nicole is a buzzkill. How does that feel,
Nicole? I'm proud
Nicole?
Of it.
No,
I'm proud of it.
No, you know what?
You're turning back to into news.
Me. You're turning into me with this attitude. I'm the one who's trying to be all upscale and not upscale, up-tempo and
up-tempo.
Friendly and happy. And you're the one who's the grumpy downer now. We've switched roles. Oh, this
at least
stuff.
We balance.
Tower of Power, yes. Fool's Overture, no. Then Matt Gilbert says, okay, boomer. Hey, Matt, just keep it to photoshopping Christmas gifts for Nicole, for crying out loud. Okay, I gotta run here. I've ate up a whole segment with poor grammar and outstanding music. Oh, and now, listen to where it gets a little more up-tempo here. I can play this until, oh, that kicks in there. Welcome to the Big Show.
Oh my gosh.
This is fantastic. Could have
fit. This probably did fit 20 years ago. We're moving on. We want to sound new and hip. We want the young people to listen.
Nobody's heard this song. It's new to almost everybody. Crying out loud. Okay, I got to run here. We'll do our favorite sound bites of the day. That old bit. Awesome audio coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Bumper, what does this do for us? Nothing, I tell you. Nothing. We'll do better. From the 503, Dory, I appreciate you asking for our input as listeners. I don't really love either of those songs that you like. Vicky agrees with Nicole. Oh, I like this one, Nicole. Nicole has bad taste. I miss the days when Dory would get off course. It's when I would laugh and listen the most. Nowadays, it's mostly just news. Boring. Dory was funny before Nicole kept him on track.
Whatever. All your fault, you're still Nicole. Funny.
And then, this one. Oh, Andrew, this is a good one to bump out with today from the 253. The Supertramp song, Perfect for Dory, I agree with this, is Asylum.
Do you know that song? I've got it right here. We'll use it.
Okay, yeah, and make sure you get to the chorus. After remember the lyrics. It's something like, don't arrange to have me sent to no asylum. This is perfect because Jay Inslee and Bob Ferguson, they want to get me fired. They want to put me in an asylum. Don't arrange to have me sent to no asylum. I'm just as sane as anyone. It's just a game I play for fun. Yeah, asylum, that's perfect. Okay, with all that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Okay, we talk about the Branch COVIDian cult all the time. And in fact, I'll play for you tomorrow. There is an HBO Max documentary on the Branch Davidians, and it is uncanny how similar they sound to the people who are members of the COVID cult. And the cult, I'm not talking about people like me. I wear my mask. I've gotten the booster. I'm cautious. I'm talking about the people who think they have to wear a mask on top of their N95 mask, and the people who drive alone in their cars with a mask on, and, you know, the people who are more like cult members. So I'll play that for you tomorrow, the comparisons between the Branch Davidians and the people who have just bought into the Jay Inslee, Joe Biden COVID cult. But this woman apparently has. She's a school teacher down in Houston, and her 13-year-old son tested positive for COVID, so she made him get in the trunk of her car.
Court documents say a 13-year-old was kept in a trunk while his mom went through the Pridgen Stadium COVID testing site in Northwest Harris County. The reasoning? She said her son tested positive for COVID and she was trying to prevent herself from being exposed while she went for additional testing.
Okay, I'm sorry. What kind of a mom would put her 13-year-old son in a trunk because he's positive for COVID? But that's what this mom did.
I've never heard of somebody being put in a trunk because they tested positive for anything.
Sergeant Richard Standifer is a public information officer for the Department of Public Safety. He says that aside from the optics, there are safety concerns that go along with a decision like this.
In the event that the vehicle is in a crash, there's no way to really secure a person in a trunk.
Namely,
okay, I'm not as into that, though. So it's because of safety concerns. Look, when I was a kid, my mom never had me wear a seatbelt. In high school, my buddy had a little Datsun pickup truck, and I would ride from Ballard High School to Dick's every spring day in the bed of the pickup truck. All the stuff that's illegal now, and now we're arresting moms. But still, putting your kid in the trunk of a car. And turns out this mom is so beloved, she's a teacher, that a bunch of people went to her house with posters and said how much they love her. Okay, I'm going to get to the CDC SNL comparison tomorrow. But, okay, let's check out Asylum, see if this would be good for the rotation. Yeah. Oh, this is good stuff. This is the kind of bumper stuff I'm talking about here. Like, I got to get out of here. John and Sherry are coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and I'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon.
Okay, I've enjoyed it. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.